Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Hope everyone's doing well after all of the recent snow and big weather. Michelle, welcome back. Thank you for joining us again today. we always miss you. We always miss you. So a couple of quick announcements before we get started. I wanted to remind all of you business owners that February 29th is the deadline for the DCRA Amnesty Program. They have a business license amnesty program that allows businesses to become compliant with district regulations by obtaining business licenses, corporate registrations, and weights and measures device registrations without penalties, late fees, or delinquent filing fees. So if you've had a challenge in getting your registrations in on time, you have until February 29th of 2016 to take advantage of this amnesty program. Just visit dcra.dc.gov, click on the links for the amnesty program, and get more details. We also have our full calendar of events on our website now. We've got a bunch of things coming up. Porch Fest on April 26th. Our annual meeting on May 11th, the Uprising Arts Festival on June 26th, and then we get into our fall events, which, gosh, that seems so far away, but...
But, you know, it's going to come quick.
Yes, it will. You can see the full list of events and more details about each of the events and how you can be an event partner with us or participate as a vendor or just come hang out and enjoy a good time. That's all on our website, RIAMainStreet.org. We've also got information out on our social media channels, Facebook and Twitter, RIA Main Street. So we've got some great guests in the studio today. Michelle, who are you visiting with today?
I have Joe Oliver in today from Highway to Hell Flowers. Welcome, Joe.
Hi. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. I understand that you all just recently had a Valentine's Day pop-up event at Zeke's.
We did. It was another wonderful year at Zeke's. We went last year and did a pop-up and came back this year, and we're so happy to be back. It's wonderful to be in the community and to meet all the wonderful people.
Great. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about your company and the types of services that you all provide.
Sure. We're a small studio florist in Northeast D.C. Our studio is in the Off the Beaten Track warehouse in the Langdon neighborhood. We've been doing weddings and events for about 7 years now. We also do weekly deliveries to some local businesses, including Brooklyn's Finest here in the neighborhood, and really just enjoy working with brides and clients to create beautiful flower arrangements.
So you say weekly delivery, so that means you're not delivering every day. It's just something that you do with standing clients or someone that calls in?
Correct. So yes, we do. We have relationships with businesses on a weekly basis, but we also do daily deliveries for people in town. So, you know, we enjoy doing smaller pieces as well as doing kind of the larger events.
What about some of your, because I understand that you do more than just floral arrangements, that there's something about the floral design classes and invitations, floral subscriptions. Tell us a little bit about that.
So Highway to Hill started before the flowers became kind of the main part of the business, which it is now, as a side project for my husband and I. We're both graphic designers by trade. In fact, I was a full-time graphic designer until April of last year, when I got a very nice severance offer from my company to leave and do this full-time. But Highway to Hill was really started as a side project for us to explore some design interests outside of our corporate jobs. You know, we both had very good jobs that we enjoyed, but we had interests in trying out things like screen printing t-shirts, doing pillows and tea towels. And so this was really that avenue to try that. And so we started making products in our basement. And we would do things like the 8th Street Festival. We did the Barracks Row Festival. And, you know, just if we had something we wanted to try, we would do it and we'd see if it would sell. And we've been fortunate to have some success with that. And that continues on the side as well now still. In addition to the flowers. The flowers for me has taken over and become my full-time job. But I still do graphic design work. We still do invitations for weddings and for events and really enjoy a very well-rounded, creative life. So,
this is great to know, by the way.
It is good to know. It is good to know. How did you come up with the name Highway to Hill?
So it's kind of a funny name, and I get some strange looks when I tell people. And it was a little bit easier to explain when we lived on Capitol Hill. Now that we moved last year to the Woodridge neighborhood, and we're very happy to be here. But when I tell people Highway to Hill, they kind of look at me quizzically. So you might get the reference. It's an AC/DC song. Mm-hmm. We're both fans
Kyle
of that.
Kyle knows that. Yes.
Because I'm that age.
So it was really a nod to that and just kind of a fun, you know, cheeky take on it. And at first I wasn't sure if the flowers made sense within that realm, but honestly, when I deal with places like my wholesale sellers, they remember my name. They remember me. You know, there's so many places, florists that have, you know, very floral names like Petals and, Love and this and that. But Highway to Hill stands out a lot more. And so in that case, it's been really good. And people don't forget.
Do you all offer services for graduations, funerals, weddings?
We do. We try to celebrate all sorts of events,
life from events, right?
Birth to death, right. Weddings in the middle. So I think flowers are really a beautiful way to honor things like graduations, funerals, you know, new babies. So we try to really honor the spirit of the people that are receiving the flowers, and really try to talk to the people that are ordering them to find out what it speaks to them and what's really important, so that it's something that's meaningful.
And your flowers are so quality. I mean, I confess that I took advantage of your pop-up at Zeke's for flowers for my wife. And this morning we were remarking about how fresh they still looked. The roses are amazingly fragrant. So kudos to that.
Thank you.
That's funny that you bring that up. That was actually one of my questions, because sometimes you get flowers and they last for a couple of days. Some flowers last a week. And what can people do to make flowers last longer, or is it a certain kind of flower that they should get?
That's a good question. So I think there is a couple of answers to that. First and foremost, buy quality flowers to begin with. And I'll admit, when I first got it started, I used to go to the grocery store and buy flowers there, and that's how I really started practicing. And there are some wonderful grocery stores in town that have great buyers and that get really quality product. But if you really want to get the best product available, working with a wholesaler is a great way to do that. And also working with local farms. There has been, in the last couple of years, because there's been such a rise in interest in using local flowers for things like weddings and events, a lot of the farmers have really taken note of this and started to include flowers as part of their growing program. So you're seeing more flowers available at things like farmers markets. You can go and buy flowers directly from the farms themselves. And more than what we used to be able to get, you know, before it was kind of the standard mix, you know, sunflowers and dahlias, which is very nice. But now they've really started asking the florists, you know, what are the trends? What are you seeing that's popular? How can we start to incorporate that in our growing season? Which I think is wonderful. Locally, I work in town, McCallum Sauber. They're over in the Eckington neighborhood. If you know kind of where the intersection of Florida Avenue and New York Avenue, they are wonderful. They've been around. I think they're the only wholesaler still in DC. It's a family-run company. They get great quality product. You can buy, as little as one bunch. You can buy a large quantity as well. They sell to the public.
That was going to be my next question.
Which, and you had asked about classes, and I'm sorry I didn't address that. So when we teach classes, we try to encourage people, really start to go and talk to these people and you know, go on a Saturday morning. And again, that's how I got to know the people at McCallum, is I just started showing up on Saturday mornings. And finally, after a couple of Saturdays, they said, oh, we've seen you here for a bit. But that's how you get to know, you know, more about the flowers, more about where they're coming from. You can find out, you know, when did they get deliveries. So I think starting with a quality product is really important. The care of flowers, it's something else that we teach in our classes, is also important. I would say number one, and we get this question all the time, you know, do you add
aspirin, Sprite,
bleach, or, and you know, and there are,
I'm a plant killer, by the way, not on purpose, but,
There are a lot of tricks that work, and one of the things that works really well for us for a flower that I love to use, hydrangea. We use something that you can buy in the grocery store, which is a spice called alum. Alum is used, I believe, for pickling, and it seems to work. We dip the stems in that, and we have very good luck with that. So we really try to encourage people to take an active role in caring for their flowers. Change your water every day.
Ah, okay.
If the flower doesn't want to drink, if you don't want to drink the water, if you look at it and say, well, I wouldn't want to drink that, the flower doesn't either. So clean water, I think, is definitely a good place to start.
Well, that's good to know. Well, you mentioned that you got into the business with graphic design and it didn't start with flowers. How did you incorporate flowers? I mean, do you grow your own flowers? Do you ever use flowers that you've grown, or, you know?
Occasionally I'll pull some stuff from my garden. So we just moved into our house last year, and we moved in the early spring, and I didn't really know what was in the garden. You know, it hadn't started to bloom. So, that was kind of a nice discovery, through the growing season. I would say most of the flowers I get are from wholesalers or from farms. The interest, I think, really started, my parents have beautiful gardens, and still do. And when I was young, I would help them with gardening, and flowers were always a part of our lives and part of our house. And it was never a precious thing. It was just something that was always
a normal thing.
It was a normal thing. Yeah. And I went to college, at St. Mary's College. I was a fine arts major. And so I spent a lot of my time in studio space, but working with my hands, things like painting and sculpture and printmaking and drawing. And while I love graphic design, because so much of it is on the computer and it's just kind of you interacting with a mouse, I missed that hands-on tactileness that I really came to enjoy in college. And I think for me, flowers was another medium to explore. And it just so happened that, thankfully, it's moved from a hobby to now my career.
Do you find that some of your customers already have an idea of what they want, or do you find that more times than not you come up with ideas and suggestions?
Well, you know, it's interesting. And in thinking of the brides specifically, since we do a lot of weddings, in the last couple of years, I've definitely seen an increase in the number of brides that come to me with very specific ideas, mm-hmm. thanks to things like Pinterest.
Pinterest, yes.
Which is equally a great and a terrible thing for me, because brides, you know, do a wonderful job, and I love that they come prepared, but oftentimes they will come with boards that are miles long and with a lot of different varieties of pictures of flowers, which is what we're looking at. And while that's great to see, it's often sometimes a little hard to dissect what it is that speaks
really
to
want.
Them.
Right.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. I think it's important to have those conversations and to really kind of get to the heart of what is it that you like about this versus, okay, you like pretty.
These are pretty. Right? Yeah. Right.
So
are you able to work within different budgets?
We do. My husband and I got married a year and a half ago. We've been together for quite a while, but finally decided to get married.
To take the plunge.
Oh, yes. And you know, honestly, we did a lot of the work ourselves. My mom and I did the flowers. My husband and I designed all of the invitations and the programs. And we're able to really save some money. And we thought, oh, we're going to be able to run this on a tight budget. And we went back and looked at the receipts afterwards. And even we were surprised how expensive things are, even being in the industry. So I try to be really cognizant of people's budgets. We don't have a minimum. I know a lot of florists do mm-hmm. have a minimum. I think that would keep us from doing some really smaller, fun events. We've done some great events that have been very personal occasions where two people just are going to the courthouse and they just want something for themselves. And I think that's so wonderful. As much as I think doing, you know, a really large and elegant wedding is wonderful, I think at the heart of it is really the love and the commitment to that relationship. So for that reason, we try to be very flexible. Now, that being said, the flowers themselves cost a lot, you know, right. even before I touch them. And so it's, some of it is a bit of an education with our clients to tell them, This is
how much this really costs.
Exactly. And, right. and, you know, let's talk about where you want to focus your budget. You know, maybe instead of spending a lot of money on the centerpieces, maybe you want to spend money on things like the bouquets and the personal flowers that are going to show up in all of the pictures that you're spending a lot of money to take. Mm-hmm. So it does take a little bit of that. And again, Pinterest is is dangerous because people will see all of these things and then tell you, oh, but my budget's only X. And, right. and it's kind of heartbreaking to have to break the news that, you know, that's not possible within their budget, but it's just all part of the job.
Do you do plants as well as floral arrangements?
Not regularly. Okay. I would say the exception to that is doing things like succulents, which have become very popular. On occasion, when there's a request, one of our, you know, a couple of our wholesalers do offer plants, so we do have access to that, but. We don't keep plants regularly in the shop, okay. Unless it's something that we're using, kind of pulling from for our arrangements.
Now, remember, I told you I'm a plant killer. So my question is, are all of your plants live? I know it's kind of silly, but do you do any arrangements where they're plastic plants or
plastic
something?
Plants.
Or
I don't know.
You know, I'm thinking of something I can't kill.
Or
something that's long lasting. Or
how's a good way to say it?
Yeah. I would say absolutely not.
There are some beautiful, wonderful faux florals on the market these days.
I like that, faux florals.
Yes. So while we don't do that, I would say on a regular basis, if someone very special came to us with that request, we would certainly try to honor that.
Or maybe just say, hey, Michelle, come to the class. I'll teach you how to.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's show you how to. You can use
succulents, though. It's hard to kill a succulent.
Okay. It is.
Well, that's good to know. I need to remember that. So if our listeners wanted to find more out about Highway to Hill, where would they look?
They can look at a couple of places. So starting with our website, and I can spell it out, the URL for you.
That would be great.
www.hwy2hill.com. So Highway to Hill, if it was shortened.com. We are on Instagram. A lot of our work is on Instagram. I really like Instagram as a social media platform. Our handle, just like the website, hwy2hill. Also on Facebook. Same, and Twitter as well.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Joe.
Thank you
this
so
is
much.
Interesting.
For Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here.
So, welcome back for our next guest today. We have with us Alma Alfaro Lasca, the Director of Membership of the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, and thank you so much for inviting us here. It's a pleasure.
Well, we are big fans of the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We work quite a bit with Gabriela Mossi, and the chamber has been just phenomenal in its work here in Ward 5, helping small businesses across the district, and particularly here in Ward 5 with small business technical assistance and working with us to sponsor small business educational events and opportunities, and you have a big one coming up, Small Business Expo.
That's correct. We are so excited about that.
So tell me more. When is it? And let's talk about the expo.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, yes, we are hosting on March 15th our seventh annual Business Expo. At the convention center, the Walter E. Convention Center. We are so excited because this is the seventh, and every year we keep growing and growing. Mm-hmm. Just to give you an idea, 4 years ago we had around 65 exhibitors and probably 400 attendees. Well, this year we are going up to 170 exhibitors.
Wow.
And we are expecting at least 2,000 attendees.
That is phenomenal.
So
that,
we are so excited. Yeah. Yes. And of course, this expo is basically to invite everybody, individuals that they want to start their own business, or small businesses that they want to grow, or medium and large businesses that they want to get involved with the community, with the small and medium business owners, Hispanics and non-Hispanics. You know, that's another idea. So many people said, well, you know, I am not Hispanic. I don't know Spanish. Can I belong to your chamber? And of course, yes, everybody can belong to our chamber. So in the Business Expo, our main purpose is to offer every kind of service and support that any attendee is looking for. The expo is on March 15th. We'll start at 9 o'clock is the opening, is the inauguration. The mayor of D.C., Muriel Bowser, will be there. We are always very honored to have the mayor of the city present during the inauguration. And at 10 o'clock, the expo is open to everybody.
Great. So what are some of the... some of the seminars, what do you talk about there? Obviously, it's an educational opportunity.
Absolutely.
What have you got lined up?
Well, we have we will have 5 workshops. We also, this year, we have an executive luncheon that is a new event that we have in the middle of the day. This is for the executive luncheon. We invited Anna Vaca. She's a very, very successful businesswoman. She's the president of Pinnacle Group. The other workshops that we're hosting, one is 2016 Marketing Trends to Grow Your Business. And with this group, what we do is we invited some experts to bring ideas to the small businesses on how to really maximize their marketing and, you know, to expand their businesses, how to use the digital and social media, video marketing, also traditional marketing. So if we put together all those tools, it's how we can help small businesses to grow,
right,
and to get really in contact with more possible customers. That is one workshop. Another workshop is How to Start Your Business 101, which is very, very, very popular too. And here, well, we invite the speakers to give us the fundamentals to how to start your company, starting from the business plan, use all the tools and facilities and incentives that the government is offering to them. So many people doesn't know about so many options.
Right,
there.
And there's
on the
so
table.
Much available.
Absolutely, yes, especially in D.C.
Yeah.
Also, you know, so many started business, they don't know all the legal requirements. So
right,
they have to be sure that they are safe, legally safe, and how to proceed in some businesses and agreements with customers. So that is very important. Also, another very important tool for small businesses is to how to use the services from banks. Banks also are offering sometimes many good incentives, many good opportunities for small businesses. I think now the banking area, they are realizing how important is, you know, that part of the economy, the small and medium companies. They are the fundamental. They are the foundation of the businesses and the economy in the country. So all of those tools are very, very important. And so in this workshop, we are offering that one. Another workshop is how to expand your business. So how to bring your business to the next level. Mm-hmm. Let's say you are already a small business or medium businesses, but I have the experience with so many members of the chamber. They are not certified, and that is very important when they want to supply or sign contracts with government offices.
So they're not a certified business enterprise.
Exactly. Right. Then the other aspect, very important, is how to sell internationally. We know so many, you know, particularly then Hispanic businesses. They are here, but they originally are from Peru, from Mexico, from Colombia, from Bolivia, and they say, well, I want to do business with my country too. And they don't know how to start. So this is another aspect very important in that group, how to expand your business. Then another workshop, and this is new, relatively new, because we started last year, but this is going to be a very good workshop also during the day of the expo, is how to do business with the U.S. And this workshop started because we are in the chamber, we're starting the international initiative. With the international initiative, we're inviting companies from other countries to be part of the chamber and to participate in the expo. So, for example, last year we had 9 companies from El Salvador. They were exhibiting some, you know, salsa, some processed food, and also IT. This year, we have already around 7 companies from El Salvador too, and they are only IT companies.
Interesting.
Yeah, very. I'm so excited about that.
Very interesting.
We are also inviting companies from Colombia. It's a group of companies that are coming. Also, a couple of chambers of commerce from Colombia. So with this international initiative, you know, everybody's getting so excited. So we had a workshop with experts from different offices from the government, from Exim Import, Import Exim Bank, from the Department of Commerce, from the Inter-American Bank. So talking about how you can really start doing business internationally. Mm. And this workshop is going to be for the companies coming from other countries, because many of them, they are producing, they are selling a lot in their own countries, and they are starting, you know, to some transactions to other countries. But there are some things that they don't know, like labeling requirements, like packing requirements, like, you know, how to really market their product. And, of course, U.S. formally requirements.
Right.
So many products with all the free trade agreements are already free of import duties. They don't know that. So all of this information, I think, will be very, very important. So those are the working groups that we are.
Very interesting. Yeah, very
it sounds
interesting.
Like it's good for all types of businesses, from whether you just have an idea or whether you've been around for a long time.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly.
Right. So in the past, I know that one of the big parts of this expo has been the business matchmaking event.
Yeah, you read my mind. I have to talk about that too. Business matchmaking event has been also one of the very successful events. With the business matchmaking, what we try to do is to sit together one by one, companies from representatives from the government, representatives from other organizations like Freddie Mae, Freddie Mac, and sometimes even big contractors,
right,
that they are looking for suppliers, they are looking for vendors or for services. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we use a system where I invite buyers to register. I gave them a password so they can register, and they describe every single item or service they are looking for. And these products are classified by we call them NAIC, the National Classification, you know, is like the very common use here in the country. So after that, then I have the suppliers registered too. And what the system does is, according with the NAICs, they match.
Nice.
And sometimes they don't match really precisely, but I make them matching.
Sounds like life.
You will match.
I said, yeah. I said, no, this has to match. So I try to really, the point is to have every supplier seated with a possible buyer and give the opportunity to meet that person first time. As you know, it's so difficult for, let's see, for me, Alma, I want to supply something to the Department of Education. Mm-hmm. It's
hard
for
me. How do you meet that person?
Who should I contact? Yeah. How to go there? So with our opportunity is I have them there. I have the right person. And if for any circumstances it's not the right person, he gets my information, and that person will send me all the right contact. So that has been an amazing experience for me. Let me tell you, for example, of course, there is 2 hours for business matchmaking. So what I do is I have 10 or 15 tables. Every table has a number. And I have all the schedule, 12 minutes meeting. So by the 13 minute, I said, well, you have 1 minute, and then we rotate them. So
so you meet more than one. It sounds like speed dating.
Exactly.
Yes. And then what we do is everybody exchange information. Usually we have, it's all depend how many buyers and suppliers I have registered, but we could have 65, 70 meetings in those 2 hours. And I'm so glad and I'm so proud because so many companies, they have gotten a very good contacts through the business matchmaking. Now, talking about internationally, for example, last year when we had companies from El Salvador, of course, we invited some other different companies that we used to invite before, but we had Giant, we have Whole Foods, we have Walmart, we have different companies there. So they met these possible suppliers of certain products from Latin America. So, and 2 or 3 companies from El Salvador, they are really now supplying their products here. So that's also another very, very good opportunity that we are offering.
Interesting. Now, in the past, Ward 5 businesses have had a special offer of no fee to participate in the matchmaking events. Is that still happening?
Exactly. Talking about the business matchmaking, of course, the government offices and buyers that register for this program, this event, they don't pay. And then for the suppliers or vendors that are members of the chamber, is free for them. And also, we are supporting Ward 5 in this case too. We offer our special discounts if they want to have an expo booth, for example, too.
Good.
And the free business matchmaking.
Great.
For companies that they are non-members of the chamber, and they are, you know, medium or big companies, we charge $100.
That's very reasonable.
Absolutely,
very reasonable.
Because, you know, they can get contracts for a few thousands or millions.
Yeah, that's a good
like
return.
Good return
on investment.
Yeah.
So if you're a Ward 5 business, you must pre-register.
Yes.
And you get a discount on your vendor booth and free access to the matchmaking. Also, if you are a Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce member, you get
free
registration. Great.
Just one question to pre-register. They can visit the website. It's www.gwhcc.org. Mm-hmm. And then they click in the Business Expo. So they will see we have a lot of labels on the top. There is the agenda. There is the all the information. But also there is one label which says Business Matchmaking.
Great.
So they click there. If they are members of the chamber, they just... I'm sure they will get my password. If they are not members, but they are from Ward 5, just they should contact me, and I will give them the password.
Okay, and how do they contact you?
They can call me directly. My number is 202-728-0352, or my email, which is A for Alma, a last name, which is Alfaro, A-L, F as in Frank, A-R-O, hyphen, Laska, L-A-S, as in Sam, K as in Kilo, A.org.
Greater Washington, GWHCC.org?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great, great, great. So if businesses are interested in becoming members of the chamber, they can either sign up online or you'll probably have a table at the expo, right?
Absolutely. They can sign online, and if they signed online, let me tell you a little bit about all the benefits for members. For example, what we do is when they sign as a members, we first of all, we announce them in social media, so in Facebook, in Twitter, in LinkedIn. Also, we announce them in our website every month, and every 2 weeks we keep, you know, publishing news and also new members and renewals too. We also give them a password to access the member directory, which that's fantastic. That's a very good tool for them. Mm-hmm. We have 645 members now. So
very good. Very good.
Then the other, of course, becoming a member, they can join us to the networking events that we organize during the year, and we organize more than 50 networking events. Some of them are sectorials, like construction mixer, like IT mixer or IT forum, marketing, but some other networkings are just in general. Mm-hmm. Then at the expo, of course, we will have the foundation will be present there. They will have their booth, their table, and we will have available their membership registrations and information about the benefits and, you know, everything they need. We will have somebody there just to provide information about membership benefits from the chamber.
Sounds great. Sounds fantastic. So that is the Greater Washington Hispanic Chamber of Commerce Small Business Expo on March 15th.
March 15th, yes.
2016, and at the Walter E. Long Convention Center. Find out more information about that on the chamber's website, gwhcc.org, mm-hmm. or any of the social media channels like LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Alma, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been great information.
Well, thank you. It has been a pleasure, and we really appreciate it very much. Let me tell you that the president of the chamber says her regards. She is flying today to Cuba. We are heading the first mission to Cuba. It's exploratory mission, and Mayor Muriel Bowser will be there too.
Interesting.
So we are, again, I told you, the international initiative is growing.
It is growing. And you said the event starts at 9. Is that correct, on the 15th?
The 15th starts at 9 and ends at 7 o'clock. We have, of course, a networking reception from 5 to 7 p.m.
Okay.
Great. All right.
Thank you.
Well, heads up, Ward 5 businesses. This is a great opportunity for you to get actually paired up with potential buyers of your services and products. Again, the website for that is gwhcc.org. Thank you so much for joining us, Alma. We look forward to seeing you on the 15th.
Thank you for giving us this opportunity. And again, anybody interested in doing business or grow their businesses, please be close to me. My name is Alma. Just dial the number, ask for Alma, and we want all of you guys from Ward 5 as part of the GWHCC family.
All right. Thanks. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. For the regular weekly segment from Good Food Market, we've got Philip on the line. Philip, how are you doing today?
Great, Kyle. How are you?
All right. What's going on at the market this week?
Oh, well, you know, we got our usual bevy of fresh produce, delicious prepared food made here in D.C., and a wide variety of groceries. But really, we're just coming on the heels of a fantastic community roundtable last Tuesday at the Langdon Rec. The response from the neighbors was amazing. We got some great people come out and share their thoughts with us about, you know, what we can do in the store and outside the store with our new nonprofit, Oasis Community Partners, to increase some educational programming in Woodridge. And the response has just been really great. We're really excited about what 2016 holds.
Very good. Very good. That was a great turnout. There was 20 some odd people there. That was
That's
great.
All right.
So what are you looking at for? So you're looking at nutrition education?
Absolutely. So we've been doing monthly cooking classes at the Woodridge Interim Library for over a year now, and those have been going great. Fantastic nutrition students from UDC who come over and prepare a fresh meal in the library. Good Food Markets raffles off a bag of free groceries that contains everything needed to make that month's recipe. If you want to stop by and pick up a recipe card from last month's class, we have it here at the store. It's a delicious Creole chicken gumbo soup.
That sounds awesome.
It really was. It's amazing. And, you know, we've got everything here in the store to make that up, as well as a bunch of other exciting dishes. And we're talking about what next month's class is going to hold. So that will be on March 22nd at 6:30 p.m. And, you know, it's just one of the many things that we do in the community to try to, you know, reach people, to have some fun, and spread the word about healthy eating.
Very good. You know, Good Food Market is such a gem in this neighborhood.
It really is.
Providing really good quality produce and affordable staples, and your meat selection is increasing right and left. What's new and fresh in produce right now?
Right now we're hitting peak citrus season, so we've got a variety of great citrus coming out of Florida. We are still getting locally some great spinach grown here in D.C. by a fantastic organization called D.C. Urban Greens, and we'll be expanding our partnership with them in the spring. They've received a plot of land from the Department of Parks and Recreation at Marvin Gaye Park, and they have dedicated 22 18-foot row beds to grow specifically for the store. So we'll have...
Wow.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's going to be... They're a nonprofit dedicated to serving food deserts. They work in Ward 7 and 8 right now. And it's going to go a long way towards reducing the cost of local organic food for families, for everybody. And so we are really excited about that. And, you know, as the community keeps supporting us in ways that are just astounding, really. I mean, especially leading up to and after the community roundtable, I've heard from so many customers, you know, who are so appreciative of what we do. And, you know, all we're trying to do is serve the community as best as possible. You know, I know we're small, but we've packed this place out with everything that we've heard from you is really important. You know, we were looking at it the other day, and our best estimate is that about 40% of the store comes directly from customer requests.
So,
you know, so if there's something that your listening audience is looking for, stop by, check out if we've got it. If not, we'll do our very best to get it for you. And that's what's gotten us here, and we hope that people will help spread the word about Good Food Markets. There are still neighbors who don't know that we're here. There are still neighbors who haven't found a reason to stop by, or who may have already stopped by and felt for one reason or another that wasn't for them. Like I said, we're always changing. We're always growing. So if you know, people are out there who know a friend or a relative or neighbor who maybe hasn't been by, you know, please encourage them to come in. We've got plenty of flyers. We'd be happy to pass them along if anyone's interested in helping us spread the word. We're going to be doing some flyering teams starting this Saturday. You know, just come by. We'll grab you a stack of flyers. You know, you can volunteer to be a block captain to help spread the word on your own block or just wherever you happen to be throughout the district.
So you are located at 2006 Rhode Island Avenue.
That's right, right at 20th and Rhode Island.
And you've got a Good Neighbor Rewards program?
We do. The Good Neighbor Rewards program is very easy to sign up. It's no cost to the customer. It takes about 15 seconds, and you can save between 5 and 20% on all your purchases. Seniors receive 5% on grocery and 10% on produce. That's 10% off. SNAP households can receive 10% off grocery and 20% off produce.
Wow,
that's great.
Yeah, you know, and that discount has been supported by a fantastic nonprofit funder based here in the district. They work nationally, and they're called LISC, and they have been a huge supporter of Rhode Island Avenue and of Good Food Market since day one.
Yep.
And have really made a lot of efforts across the country to help improve food access, especially for low-income families and seniors. And so we're very proud to be partnering with them and glad that we're able to offer these discounts to a meaningful discount to families who need it most.
All right, Philip. Thank you, as always, for touching base with us and letting us know what's going on. That's Good Food Markets, 2006 Rhode Island Avenue Northeast. You can find them on the web, Good Food Markets. Is it Good Food Markets DC or Good Food Markets? Just goodfoodmarkets.com.
The website is goodfoodmarkets.com, and our Twitter handle is goodfooddc.
Great. That's where I was getting the DC, goodfooddc. All right. Thanks a lot, Philip. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you, Kyle.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Looking forward to it. Bye now.
So before we wrap up, I want to thank our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grants to us that pay for this show that we bring to you. If you are enjoying hearing about businesses on Rhode Island Avenue, and if you are or you're a business owner that is enjoying hearing some of the educational tips that we're bringing, please do pass the word along to your network. Tell them about Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Obviously, we are broadcasting here on Bliss FM Tuesdays at 11 a.m., but we also have the shows recorded and available on the iTunes Store. You can listen to them, the recordings on Bliss FM or on our website, RIA Main Street. Please help spread the word, and let's get some more ears listening and learning about Rhode Island Avenue, Main Street, and all of our businesses here. So thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.